So they got that tropical area in the Gulf that should lead to a lot of rain tomorrow, this evening, tomorrow, and primarily Friday, as I understand it. Then it clears out, which if that happens, then everything will be dry enough on the weekend to cut the grass. Notice my big frame of reference, cut the grass, because that's the big duty that we all have during the summertime. And once it gets out of hand, it's a mess. Justin Buechler joins us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Talk about immigration. How you doing, Professor? Good morning.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. What does this new poll show?
So we've got a bunch going on here. The sort of trouble with asking about immigration is the same with asking about a lot of issues, which is that most people don't have stable preferences about policy. So there's sort of a calibration issue. And one way to think about it is sort of you're looking for something and there's somebody telling you warmer, warmer, colder, colder. And what's happened is we sort of swung between extremes. So if you think about the Biden administration, we had not a lot of border controls. So we had a lot of illegal immigration, and we've swung to the other extreme. And if you look at what's going on in this Gallup poll here, we've seen preferences move because we've gone from very few immigration restrictions to very restrictive policies. So if you look, for example, at what's going on, even on the Republican side here, we've gone from Republicans thinking that in 2024, we had 88% of Republicans saying that immigration should be decreased. And that's gone down to 48%. And the proportion saying that it should be kept about the same has gone up from about 11% to 36%. So what's going on is this calibration issue where you swing from one extreme where we really have no border controls to very restrictive policies, and public opinion is responding because most people don't really have stable positions on policy. What's going on is people sort of saw no border controls, and then we swing over to much more restrictive policy, and public opinion adjusts. So that's basically what's going on here, and we see a bunch of variations of that.
Did this poll distinguish between immigration? Because I think when you say immigration, it's a pretty complicated process as it stands now, as opposed to illegal crossings. And again, if you want to go to immigration, well, we're all immigrants if you're not Native American, because we all came here from somewhere else, right? So did the poll distinguish between that?
Yeah, there are a bunch of variations here. So there are some questions on specific policies and changes in support. So, for example, we've got a bunch here on specific proposals like what we should do with illegal immigrants versus immigrants who are brought here as children. And so, for example, we have the question of what to do with people who are brought here as children and whether or not they should be given a pathway to citizenship versus border patrol. So we've got a bunch of variation here because, like you said, this is a complicated issue. And there's a lot more support for people who are brought here illegally as children being given sort of a pathway to legalization rather than people who cross the border illegally. And that's a big difference. So, for example, we see in 2025, I'm looking at 85% in 2025 saying that people who are brought here illegally as children should be given a pathway to legalization versus deporting illegal immigrants. There's much higher level of support for that. But yeah, this is a complicated issue.
Did this poll address birthright citizenship?
Now I have to, let me do a quick search here.
Well, because that's another portion of it, right?
Yeah.
I'll read some text while you do that, then we'll take a break and we'll come back. Some of the texts that are going to Tommy, I think the border's 1,000 times better than it was under the previous administration. That being said, with all the negative publicity crackdown on immigration getting from the press, it can't help but sway the, I guess, the position of the country, but blame it on the press, I guess. As far as immigration, just keep the ones we have unless they have criminality with them. Stop them from coming in illegally and coming to our country the right way. To me, it would be too involved to get rid of compliant immigrants, but definitely get rid of the bad ones. 100% against illegal immigration. Respect the laws of my country, period. I was wondering the other day, what was more annoying? When somebody ends a sentence with period, close discussion, end of discussion, or... Anyway, somebody says, how about we enforce the laws on immigration as written? Somebody else said, grew up in a construction family, 70s, 80s. No one is in construction anymore because of illegal immigrants, made the wage absolutely unlivable. So that brings the question of who's making the money there? Because if they were to not pay illegal immigrants and pay a living wage to people that were in this country, then that means either the prices are going to go up or the builders are going to have to take less profit in the economic model, I think. 620 traffic now, WWO. It is 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, about immigration. Some texts coming in. We're not immigrants. We were born in America. Well, unless you're Native American, your people came here from somewhere else. When convenient truth is America is addicted to cheap wages by immigrants, as long as it doesn't affect them, I think that's kind of true. We're talking about a new survey out about how Americans have changed their mind on immigration. Professor, when it comes to people like, there was a woman in New Orleans, a woman that overstayed her visa, 47 years old, originally from Iran. It's a complicated case when it comes to immigration and visas and this and that and the other thing. She was rounded up, never been in a hint of trouble at all, a good citizen, supports the community, whatever it is. The Republicans got together, the Republican delegation, and got her released from ICE custody. Is that the kind of thing that can kind of turn Americans around on this, where it's like, well, wait a minute now, just because somebody's here illegally and maybe didn't technically follow what they're supposed to do, we don't need to round them up?
That's a kind of an example, because there are a lot of different kinds of cases. The clear cases that most Americans do want deported are the people who cross the border illegally and then committed crimes. There's pretty much universal support on that. Then you get into more complicated cases. So if somebody crossed the border legally but then committed crimes, then you'll get higher levels of support. But if somebody crossed the border legally, that means you've got a different position and then didn't commit crimes. Well, overstaying a visa, what happens if somebody overstays a visa? That's technically a violation of immigration law. But if that person also didn't commit crimes, then a lot of Americans are going to have more sympathy for that. And so you look at the range of different violations that can occur, and there are going to be some people who are just hard line on immigration and say that if there are any violations whatsoever, deport that person. But given the range of potential violations, some people are going to be more sympathetic. And you can get a lot of sympathy among Americans for somebody who crossed the border legally and didn't commit any other violations.
Is it, as you say that, I'm thinking maybe it's more about crime, because honestly, if they got violent criminals, I'd just soon see them deported if they were born here, as opposed to people across the border and behave themselves. Does it come down to bad actors? Is that ultimately what people are feeling and thinking, whether they came here legally or not?
Well, that's really where you will have the highest level of support for deportation. For American citizens, we don't deport American citizens.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that emotionally, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty clearly where you will have the highest level of support for deportation. And as you move away from that category, you will have lower levels of support. And that's what makes this complicated, is there's so many variations of different kinds of cases for immigration. And as you move towards more sympathetic cases, there will be higher levels of support for letting people stay. As you move towards more unsympathetic cases, there will be lower levels of support. And what's happened is we've moved from sort of a lack of enforcement on immigration law to levels of enforcement that Americans are kind of uncomfortable with. And that's swinging between the extremes.
I get a text that goes like, maybe 35 lines. I'm not going to read it all, but basically they're saying they don't know what's going on with immigration. Does the United States really have a handle on the immigration situation?
We've gotten better control on the border. That's pretty clearly true. But we also have issues with ICE that have made a lot of people very uncomfortable. So it is possible to get more control on the border, but the question is what Americans think about some of ICE's tactics, and there are a lot of Americans who are uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, it sounds good till you see it. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe not. Thank you, sir. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. We come back. We're talking to Patrick Penfield, Professor of Supply Chain Practice at Syracuse University. A new consumer price report came out. Inflation rose at the highest rate since February. Some will tell you inflation's down. Some will tell you it's up. Some will tell you prices are down. Some will tell you prices are up. We'll see when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. 644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, going to rain tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. But then for the weekend, it should be over as far as that tropical system goes. That's what they're saying now, so we'll be aware of that and keep you apprised of everything you need to know. Patrick Penfield joins us now, Professor of Supply Chain Practice at Syracuse University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm good. You had nothing to do with this at all, but I thought I'd ask you. Today is National World Snake Day. When it comes to snakes, are you snake friendly? Would you allow them in your house or not?
Oh yeah, I love snakes. Snakes
really? Really?
Yeah, no worries with snakes.
No kidding.
As a kid, I had some pet snakes.
Really? What kind?
Yeah. I just see garden snakes. You know, nothing major. You know, just stuff we caught around the house. You know.
My family, but you got to realize my family is different. They kept giving me cobras for pets. Cobras and rattlesnakes. That's what they kept giving me. Tell me about what's going on with Consumer Price Index, a price report. I don't know. I don't understand what all these things are.
Yeah. So Consumer Price Index is, it's just a report. Basically, it's where the government has a bunch of economists that kind of analyze what's going on with pricing in the United States. And unfortunately, prices went up in June. And so, this is unfortunately we're starting to see things start to tick up, and I think we talked about this last time. You know, about we're starting to see the tariff effect.
So I was listening to somebody yesterday. I don't know if it was conservative radio. I don't know if it was President Trump. I don't know who it was because I flip all over the place. You know, try to catch a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Talking about going down a checklist about this, that, the other thing. Inflation down, prices down. And I thought that sounded good to say, but that's not necessarily what I see in the grocery store. Is there anything to back that, or is that just political spin?
I think it's political spin. So, you know, year over year, you know, we're looking at about a 2.7% increase over prices from last year. So, yeah, absolutely, prices have gone up. I think, you know, in their defense, you know, we haven't really seen it really jump up or ramp up the way we thought it was going to because, the tariff impact. So, you know, it's not bad. I mean, the Federal Reserve would prefer to be at about 2%. That's about normal. But, yeah, it's about 2.7%. And, again, it's starting to climb up.
But when it comes to tariffs, I don't know how you would say tariffs raise prices or not, because I don't know if they're on or not. I don't know what goods they're on at what time and what goods are in stock that have been tariffed or haven't been tariffed or who's eating the tariff. I do know somebody's paying the tariffs because they said that it brought $100 billion into the Treasury. So somebody had to pay that, right?
Absolutely, Tommy. So I work with a lot of companies locally, and so we had we've had some training sessions the past couple months, and it's interesting that, you know, the companies are smart and they try to get around the tariffs. And so I think one of the reasons why you don't see it right now is right before April 2nd, when with the President Trump's Liberation Day with tariffs, a lot of companies brought inventory in. I mean, they worked really hard to do that, and so they had inventory. And then another thing that companies were doing is that they started to resource to other countries with lower tariffs. And then lastly, you know, some of them are looking at tariff reengineering, where they can kind of bring in stuff that's changed, that's at a different tariff rate than their original tariff rate. Mm-hmm. So the companies have been very clever. And then another thing is they actually have been negotiating with countries, suppliers in countries, to take some of the, you know, the tariff, hit. And so that's kind of been buffering, you know, the overall tariff impact. But eventually, you know, these companies are going to run out of inventory. The prices, you know, tariffs keep going up. So, you know, eventually the suppliers are going to say, look, we can't, you know, bear the burden of this. So it's going to come to an end soon, but we just haven't seen it yet.
So they say it brought $100 billion into the Treasury. I think the Treasury Secretary said that, if I'm remembering correctly. Where'd that $100 billion come from?
Tommy, you're absolutely correct. So that came from the people that actually paid when it came into the country. So the custom border folks, once, you know, stuff comes into, you know, to the ports and you know, here in the United States, what they'll do is they'll charge whoever picks up the stuff, and they'll say, okay, this is the additional charge for the tariffs. So yeah, the person that orders the materials that comes into the country, they pay that tariff.
All right, let me take a break. We come back. I want you to kind of walk me through what happens here. And I don't know if you want to make it from a wardrobe standpoint or what is produced with a lot of imported goods that are subject to tariffs. Professor, you got an item for me or items?
Sure.
Like what?
Yeah, we could talk. We'll do apparel.
All right, let's do apparel. All right. So we'll take the anatomy of tariffs as they relate to apparel from the time either the finished product or the raw material leaves the country upon which the tariff has been placed and gets on the ship, and what happens after it gets to the dock, because I think a lot of people know of this. They don't really know about it. Patrick Penfield's our guest, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. If you have any questions or comments about tariffs, you can text them into 504-260-1870. It's World Snake Day. I'm getting texts about snakes. You can text that in as well. Same number, 504-260-1870. Don't ever text and drive, because if you do, Tim's going to come get you. 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now, WWO. 6:56, 4 till 7. Look at Tim Zimmer there on top of it on National World Snake Day. We're talking to Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University, about tariffs. And we thought we'd look at the anatomy of tariffs from the apparel standpoint. So take me through it, professor. When, I don't know, you'll pick a country and pick a product and then take us through it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say, Tommy, I'm a concert T-shirt producer.
Okay.
And so let's say maybe I sell to the promoters like, you know, Styx and Foreigner, Def Leppard, Kiss. Some of your listeners might remember those bands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're touring the country. So I go ahead and I find a supplier in China. And they agree to make, you know, my Kiss T-shirts and my Def Leppard, my Styx. And they say, well, you know, we'll charge you $10 per T-shirt. And I'm like, great. That's, you know, the best price. And I'm going to get them from China. So I go ahead and I place an order. And let's say I order just one, just for, you know, simple example purposes. So it comes in, you know, to the port. And then I go to pick it up. I'm very excited. It's a Kiss T-shirt. And, I'm thinking, oh, it'll be $10. Well, as soon as I go to pick it up, the customs is going to give me a bill for $3. And they're going to say, hey, look, you got to pay this $3 or you're not going to get this T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So now instead
that's presuming it'd be a 30% tariff, right?
30% tariff.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm paying $13.
Right.
And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to sell these for $15. And now I'm going to lose $3 worth of profit because I got hit with this custom charge. So that's what's going on, Tommy, is when you bring something in from the country, the supplier's not going to charge you, but the custom border agents are. And so if President Trump says, you know, I'm not very happy with China, I'm going to now enact 100% tariff. So now my $10 T-shirt that I brought in is going to cost me $20, and now I'm not going to make any profit. And so this is kind of what's going on with the small companies. You know, they're really struggling with, you know, trying to make money. And the big issue, Tommy, is certainty, right? If President Trump said, here are the tariffs, this is what they're going to be, then I think companies could kind of deal with that. And they could say, okay, yeah, we're, you know, we can figure it out. We can, you know, make sure that we're charging the right amount. But if it changes constantly, then it's very difficult to make money.
So then the question is, okay, on this Styx T-shirt, why don't I have it made in the United States?
Because it costs twice as much.
Okay.
So it's going to cost you $20 versus $10. And, you know, like, my customers may not want to pay that much. They might say, no, we're not going to pay that much. And most of your apparel is made, you know, in Asia, you know, Bangladesh, China. And that's just because it's all labor intensive. And, you know, the folks there, when they're making T-shirts and socks and underwear, you know, they're making, you know, less than a dollar, let's say, than versus what, you know, what we pay here from a minimum wage standpoint. That's stuff that we don't want to, you know, to manufacture or produce here in the United States. It's just not cost effective, and it's not worthwhile for companies to do.
So if you want to bring manufacturing back to the United States, you can be for that, but keep in mind that t-shirts going to be $20, not 10.
Or exactly.
Going to cost $20 to make.
Yeah, Tommy, you're absolutely correct. And I'm a big proponent of manufacturing, but let's manufacture, you know, the high quality, high worth items like semiconductors and airplanes and cars. And President Trump's right from that vantage point. We have to manufacture. We just got to manufacture the right stuff.
Got you. Thank you. Appreciate your time. Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. Might have a name storm in the Gulf. We'll talk about insurance with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, when we come back.